gather round. It's Mecha Podcast 2000.
Hey there, hi there, welcome to the show. This is Mega Podcast 2K, the hottest pod in Atlanta, GA. How are y'all doing today, America? How are you doing, Dana?
I'm wonderful.
Also, Germany, that our one listener out in Germany, shout you out forever.
For reals.
We have a great week coming up. Just want to get y'all prepared mentally. We got blockbusters. I've seen them all at this point. Except Elvis, but wouldn't consider that a blockbuster. We got Bill Burr. We got the Funk Flex Griselda beef. Everything Everywhere All at Once. We got the Northmen. We got Thor. We have How to Build a Sex Room. You won't be vanilla by the end of this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. Heading to the court. Dana, oh, what number would you be?
I guess 12.
12, number 12. A righteous number. At point guard. Coming in at shooting forward, Seth Rodriguez, number 30. Knocking down buckets. Oh, his eyes are closed. He just hit 10 threes in a row. He's going to be hot tonight. Yeah, sorry. That song came up on my Discover Weekly, and
it's like how they announce every basketball lineup.
Yes, it was made for the Bulls.
Yeah, I've like heard it ever since I was like 10 years old when I watched Jordan take down Magic, Bird, all in the '90s. Barkley. It was great. Great time for the Chicago.
I've never seen Magic play. I've never seen them. Posted something, I think it was Barstool or Bleacher Report, and it was like, who would you eliminate? Like, what Laker would you eliminate? And it was like, Braun, Will Chamberlain.
Oh, easy, Magic. I wouldn't even have to
Magic Johnson, it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq, yeah, Kobe. Magic.
Get him out of here.
But, well, everybody was going Will Chamberlain, but I'm just thinking.
Will Chamberlain never had HIV and AIDS.
So? What does that have to do with it?
Because, man, he's the only found a cure for AIDS, and every motherfucker passed away. You know what I mean? Like,
so. So because he get a just because
my
mom
is not in the NBA doesn't mean she gonna be okay. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I get that. So just because, so nothing to do with stats. Just because,
yeah,
a lot of people died and
he was a facilitator of it. Yeah.
Wow, he didn't facilitate.
He was just recklessly sleeping around with women out there.
Man, you're coming in hot today.
I'm just telling the truth.
Coming in hot.
Just facts. I'd take him off the list just for that.
Real street shit.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know about that. My point of it, though, was that I've never seen half of those dudes play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure no one, like none of these commenters have either. So it's like, how can you be like, oh, Wilt Chamberlain or, you know, Kareem Abdul? It's like, I've never seen them play.
Well, if I had to do just off points and not character.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I would still take off Magic Johnson.
Really? I mean, he was apparently Will.
I mean, I've
incredible.
Seen YouTube. I can go. I've watched all these players, like, just, you know, I'm a historian of basketball. But, yeah, just, I mean, Magic was good, but I mean, Will is a beast, you know? Like, and LeBron's better than Magic. So, and Shaq's better than Magic. Kobe's better than Magic.
I guess. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I just don't. It's too.
They have way more rings than him.
Do they? All those. I don't know. I really don't. Isn't Jerry West like in that one of them?
Yo, Kobe has, or Jerry West only has one.
Oh, he only had
and
one?
He's infamous for getting to like 9 finals or something like that and only winning one.
Oh,
some
damn.
People are even questioning why they even revere him so much to get there so many times and only get one.
Because he's white.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that.
Because he's a white man.
He's a logo.
He's a logo. He is the logo. They need to switch it to Kobe.
Yeah, that would be sick.
What you been up to this week? Anything interesting?
You know, school, work, making music, watching TV shows in between, playing some Warzone, pool parties, and working out. That's about it.
Real street shit.
Damn, son, where did you get this from?
Warzone, how's your kill to death ratio?
I don't even, but it's horrible, probably.
Do you get like one, maybe two, maybe?
I think the highest I had yesterday was like 9.
Are y'all doing Resurgence where you come back?
Yeah, real quick. I love that. Yeah.
What is the island now?
I don't know. I've been loaded up on this map where it's like storage units and it's like real like bang bang. Like,
yeah.
Just like you like is you it said, called just
Caldera?
Caldera, yeah. That's what I've been playing because you can level up real
How
fast.
How many people in the crew?
It's usually everybody, mostly DaVinci workers I work with. We got like a little running crew.
How many? 4?
More than that. It's like 5.
Oh, so some people like don't make the cut.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah. We alternate, like, see who's going to be on. And if someone's not on, then we fill
damn
spots.
Tempted to get on. I used to run shit back in the day. You could ask one of our listeners out there.
My homeboy Austin last night. Shout out Austin, who doesn't listen to this part. He had like 26 kills. Went like 26-9 last night.
What's the gun y'all rolling with?
He was P90. I have like the 141. Something, whatever they start you off with Warzone. I forgot.
P90's good now?
Yo, he loves the P90. That's crazy. Yo, he went ham on that last night.
I was with the QBZ or the MAC-10. Mm. But that's a different show. That's a different show. I've been a gymsman, dog. I've been at the gym.
Nice.
Myself. I was there for like 4 hours yesterday.
Was it mostly sauna or working out? I have to ask this question.
Okay, so it's almost always mostly sauna.
Okay.
Or it's actually like a hot tub room. It's like this whirlpool room, but no one is ever in it. So I just get it to myself. And I wanted to, speaking of a sauna, I wanted to show you, you know, kind of what I listen to when I'm in there. Let's see where it's at. Make sure I get it right the first time. You know how I am about this shit.
Well, it's part of the show for you to get it wrong the first time. Wouldn't be any.
So I sit in the sauna and just, I put on Gregorian chants in my AirPods.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the Halo entry.
Yeah, yeah. And I just kind of vibe out, close my eyes, you know, and just try to let all the stress.
Like
you know,
you're
just,
in the Nina.
Mm-hmm. Just sweat away. Deep breaths, you know. Try to think of nothing, honestly, and try to connect with the other side. And, you know, is there another side, mm-hmm. you know? And could I use it to maybe have superpowers?
I'm sure no one else that listens to this podcast listens to this while they're doing anything therapeutic.
Nothing?
Probably not like this.
Yo, shout out Gregorian Chants playlist.
And if you do, drop it on the pod and then I'm
on
wrong.
On Spotify.
Or drop it on the IG. Prove me wrong.
Gregorian Chants. Shout out. But yeah, man, I feel even calmer now. Mm-hmm. I was a little nervous. You know, I get real nervous for the show. Do you ever get nervous for the show, for reals?
No.
Me neither. I mean, I guess back in the day.
It's comfortable.
Yeah. We aren't live either. I think live would be kind of add some intensity. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't get nervous either. But anyway, yes, mostly in the Whirlpool thing. I always go there. I'm going there after this.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yesterday was sick because it was like hot as fuck, right? And I got my earplugs in because I'm a swimmer now. I got the swim cap, got the goggles, got a Speedo, too small. Oh my God, y'all should have seen. It was horrible. My butt crack was eternally showing in this Speedo. It was so small.
Good thing no one was there, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't leave the house in it.
I thought you did.
No, I gave it to my roommate. Didn't wash it. Side note. So next time I see him, I'm gonna be like,
you probably already tried it.
Disgusting. Oh, yeah, I know, right? Not shocked, but yeah, my ship, like, it was like a half Speedo though. It kind of had like a mesh thing going. But anyway, yeah, I'm lap swimming. I had to get earplugs because it was fucking waterlogging my ears because I was going every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hit the gym. I go swimming, and then I was like, well, I hit the gym, and then I was like, fuck it. No one was on the basketball court, so I rented a basketball.
Nice.
And I played for like an hour, just like trying to get my game back because mm-hmm. I am trash. I used to be able to ball in middle school. Horrible now. I'm bricks, air balls, bricks, air balls. I was like, I'm not leaving until I hit 23s. That took me like probably 30 minutes. I was working on my inside, you know, fade away, all that shit. That was tight. And then went swim and then whirlpool every day. You want to delete a hangover? Get a sauna or a whirlpool in your life. If that's an issue. Or just quit drinking. But shit, nah.
I like that one better.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the gym's been great. Just like today. Today's raining and disgusting outside.
It is.
And so it's like thank you for coming in that
treacherous. That's why I was a little bit running behind.
But yeah, no, it's great. And hopefully I can shed some weight because your boy getting thick out here and I like it. All right, let's get into this. Give me some ganja.
That was a good one.
Dana and I were on our bullshit this week. We caught up on a lot of stuff. Bill Burr dropped his new comedy special. Actually, I don't even know the name of the comedy special.
I don't even. I think it was Bill Burr. I really think it just said his name out
at
there.
Red Rocks or something. Red Rocks, a historic white people venue, the Mecca for white people. If there's a Mecca for, you know, Muslims, Mecca, this is the Mecca for just being a white person, especially one who's fond of Colorado. He played Red Rocks. What did you think of the venue?
The venue was sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like obviously open. You can see the mountains. It was nice.
Yeah. That's like where you want to see your favorite band is Red Rocks. I've been there during the day. I went and just walked up and down it. But it was there was no show when I was there. But it's still really beautiful. I mean, Colorado's, they call it white people Wakanda. It's beautiful, but he did a comedy show. You never really see that there.
Right.
He had a big ass bright ass light on him the whole time.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I felt like that kind of made it difficult, but the crowd was very into it.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
They were a lot of like hooting and yelling. Woo! Like they really will say that over anything.
Yeah, they would, for sure.
I didn't like his two things.
His outfit was horrible.
Yes, dude. That
the fit,
there's nothing I hate more than the Barstool Sports guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever his name is, the CEO, Dave Portnoy. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I'll
yeah, he's whack. Okay. He always wears like these long sleeve like T-shirt hoodies. Like, those are the worst, dude. Commit horrible. To either a fucking hoodie
or just a shirt
or a long sleeve. Yeah. To me, like, part of the aesthetic of a hoodie is that you look kind of like a teddy bear, you know, and like you get bulked out, you know, that's like what makes a hoodie, you know?
Yeah, no, no doubt.
Now, when you're wearing that long sleeve hoodie, it tells me that you're like a middle aged trying to be hot man, you know, and Dave Portnoy like is in shape. Bill Burr is not.
Oh, you saw the gut. Yeah, it was out there. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a good look.
It wasn't.
Like, wear any, I don't know.
Just wear black. Yeah. That's what that does.
I know it's probably cold at night there, you know?
But yeah.
Like, commit. That was terrible. I think he should have just wore a hoodie, you know?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the fit was.
And he had like some, I think there were Sambas, some black Sambas.
Yeah, I don't know what they were, but
it was a bad fit.
Yeah, it was.
And then the other thing is he, with that spotlight and just, he looked like shit. It was his face. He just kind of looked, it was hard to look at. He just really was hard to look at. I almost will recommend that you just listen to it on Spotify.
But he was funny though.
Yeah.
That was
okay. So aside from all the aesthetics, it was funny. You liked it?
Yeah. No, yeah. It was funny. If I had to give it swipes, it was probably a regular old three swiper, you know?
Yeah. Just I would give power to you. Know, okay. Dana on Dana's
just
behalf.
A regular three. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. The beginning was pandemic stuff and vaccine stuff, which was okay, but it just tired material. I think that. You know, it's going to age poorly, you know, when you do something like that. Kind of like when you wear a long sleeve t-shirt hoodie. It just ages poorly. Like, this is bad. You know, like, oh, I know when this came out exactly and blah, 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 which is okay, I guess. But just felt that shit felt late. But once he was only in that stuff for like 10 minutes. But yeah, once he pushed past that, the lesbian stuff I thought was good. The Roe v. Wade. It was funny. He talks about abortions, and this is before the Roe v. Wade stuff. That was funny. I just love him because he don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
you know, I love Bill Burr. I don't know, but I mean, it's the same way I feel with Chappelle. Though I just wish he would like, because Bill Burr definitely says shit I don't exactly agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I just want like Chappelle to do shit like that outside of the trans stuff, you know. So it was cool, you know. Yeah, I definitely don't agree with, like, not because he's really misogynist.
Oh yeah, but he was no apologetic about it, bro. Yeah. He definitely made that out there. Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, I've seen Bill Burr live, and a woman walked out, you know.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Why are you leaving?" You know? It was fucking awesome because she had like said something to him, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he knew she wasn't going to the bathroom, you know.
Right, right.
But yeah, I love it. Long live fucking raw stand up, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
So that's
what I mean. So what you said, you gave it a 2 power?
Yeah, I've seen, he's had better ones. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of it, but I feel like my favorite one is the black and white. He did one that's like in black and white that came out probably like 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that one to me, I was like dying laughing. This one was, some of it was just felt tired in that, like, also the, like the women's soccer thing about the pay. I know you don't agree with that.
What? No, hell no. Yeah. They should be equal. Yeah. Hell no. Cause they're better than the men. Yeah. And they show it on TV all the time. I watch the women more than I watch the men.
You don't sell tickets.
Oh, the WNBA, that way, he went ham on that part, bro. Dude. He did. He went ham, bro.
And he was saying women, they, like, just show up if you care, you know? Like, y'all can all show up. Like, I love that shit. It's like, thank you for saying that. Like, but the thing is, like, we all know it, you know? Like, we all know it, but we have to tiptoe around it and virtue signal. But he just comes in. That's why I love him, is he's just like, fuck this virtue signaling.
Yeah, no.
Fucking say
it. Or he starts talking about the mushrooms. Which so I was talking about the story when he started taking mushrooms. That was good.
And he remembers that, what was it like? It was like growing up in the 80s.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
With his angry father.
Where you just have anger. Which is funny because I watched that. And then after that, I watched The Black Phone. And what did they have in it? Super angry dad. Who like, he's not even the bad guy either. He's just like a super angry dad.
I think my favorite section of it when he was like, yeah, you know what? You know, when white people say they were woke, you know, they didn't even happen. You were probably around someone, black person. He was like, yeah, man, somebody be woke. He's like, ooh, I'm going to use that one. That was so great, right? He's like, that was dying. I'm going to go say that. You know, it had parts of like Atlanta where it was like, you know, he was literally self-deprecating like white culture
a little bit. Yeah.
Again, like how Atlanta had a whole section where it was like, all right, man, yeah, maybe we are fucked up. Maybe we are assholes, you know? Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. And I mean, that's what he was like essentially saying, I felt like was like, you know, for every white person that feels like we're going to stand up for, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, like you said, where the fuck were you at? You know, he just flipped and went angry. It's like, where were you at then? You know,
so or like, if it flipped back to like slavery.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What would you do?
Nothing. I love this. Nothing. He's like so real. It's like, but he's real. He's like being so real about it.
That's why he's fucking great. I mean, do you watch any of his Conan appearances? Every time he was on Conan, it was just fucking amazing. His takes on everything.
God, it was great. Great. So would you tell the listeners to watch it or to
100%.
You got the button up? What do you got? We're going to next it or are we going to?
No, that's a 100%. Well, my thing with the next thing is, next is when something doesn't even warrant a swipe. A swipe is a pass.
Got you. So we should.
Even a one swipe.
So definitely watch this.
Yeah.
It's a quick, it's like an hour, 22 minutes, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And, you know, stand-up's great because it's mostly an audio medium. And so it's like you can, you know, do the dishes. You know what I mean? You could kind of have it on the background and you could just hear it, you know, and that's really, you know, you don't have to just sit and watch it, you know?
No. Yeah. I mean, like you said, if you want a breath of fresh air real quick, you know, it's a good, like, I feel like I haven't watched something like that in a while. He had Bill Burr and Friends up, and me and my wife tried to watch that, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, his friends were not that funny.
Well, go watch, there's one called, like, The Tiger or Tiger that's pretty good, but the one, it's in black and white. That one's really good. I think that might be, I mean, it's probably the one that stands out the most to me. But he almost always talks about the same shit. Like, he always has struggled with women, this whole time.
Yeah. Well, Rotten Tomatoes.
God, when he talked about the gay men, how they're just like the happiest people.
Yeah.
Overly enthusiastic.
That was
on point.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have it really high up there right now. It's not. It's got like a 13%. It still hasn't got the full ratings in because I think it just drops.
So is it 13?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't. It. I think because he was at Red Rocks. Yeah. It was not a comedy venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like the material. It didn't feel like a full. Real hour, you know, tight set. Mm-hmm. It felt loose, you know, like...
Yeah, it was definitely loose. Like, it freestyled almost.
Yeah. Like, his other ones have had more... And even how it ended, you know, normally you wrap it around, like, you know, you circle back, and this was just kind of like, all
right,
I'm out.
Right. Yeah. It's weird because Rotten Tomato has, right now, the biggest thing out is This Is Gore on Netflix.
This Is what?
I think that's on Netflix. This Is Gore, the band, the Gore.
That's on Netflix?
He's either that or on Hulu. I can't remember. I've seen it somewhere.
Yeah, Gore's like the one that does all the...
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right, the bloody stuff and all? Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I'll check that out.
So, I just was looking at the ratings for Bill Maher stand-up and saw that some reason that's up there right now, I guess.
All right, well, let's move over. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
I love Gore. I don't know what their music sounds like.
They're from Richmond, so of course I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're a Virginia band.
Shout out Virginia, VA. Let's go. All right, let's switch over real quick. Funkmaster Flex and Griselda had a beef about a week ago.
I texted you so quick, too.
Literally the day, after... We recorded last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Funk Flex.
Well, it hits home because, I mean, that's how we got together. Like, that's why it's even relevant to bring up. So, well, when you talk about Griselda.
Blood Orange.
It's how we got together, but it's a few mementos that brought us together. Mm-hmm. So, when you attack some of those things, we got to bring it up. We just got to bring it up. Can't attack Griselda.
And Funk Flex kind of had a, you know, recent resurgence with being on the Tyler album.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Funk Flex is a respected radio DJ in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then Griselda is out of
Buffalo.
So, you know, I feel like he's just cooking up a rivalry for fun. Mm-hmm. I think anything Funk Flex does is for fun. But basically, he calls out Griselda.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Benny the Butcher, West Side Gun, Conway the Machine. He says that they have all these cosigns, mm-hmm. and, you know, signed to Shady and all mm-hmm. that stuff and doing songs with Jay-Z and stuff like that and all, or Rock Nation mm-hmm. and all that stuff and working with Kanye, and they still aren't on top even with all those cosigns. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like saying they're trash because mm-hmm. if you have that much help, you should be fucking like top five right now.
Right.
You know? And he's just calling him out, you know. I really think he's just starting shit. He does have a point, I think. But
mm-hmm.
I also just don't think that their sound works in...
In club music is what he's saying, essentially. Yeah. Is what he's saying.
Exactly. And he's a top 40s. Let's be honest. He's like a top 40s.
It started because Complex.com, if you want to read this article... It gives a little bit of insight. Funk Flex had blasted Pete Rock after the producer suggested that DJs no longer play real artists on the radio.
Oh.
So that's like, and the beef between the two started after Conway the Machine hosted on Instagram Live, in which he called out Funk Flex, referred as an out of touch gatekeeper.
I love that word,
gatekeeper. That's a good one. Because he is, like, most people don't know. I'm a big hip hop historian. Seth is somewhat of a New Orleans hip hop trap, you know, but Funk Flex. For y'all don't know, he's OG, triple OG in the 90s. Like, DJ Clue tapes, Funk Flex tapes pretty much rode the 90s out for hip-hop. Like, if you weren't on a DJ Clue, Funk Flex, Desert Storm type of mixtape, like, even Shady, like, you know, everybody you can think of was on one of those. So he has a lot of clout.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know. So when I'm reading this, you don't think, like, who is this dude? So he calls him out, an out-of-touch gatekeeper who doesn't give his music airtime. Talking about Conway's music. Flex didn't take kindly to the criticism and now is all spoken about against Rock for taking Conway's side. So he's kind of mad at Pete Rock for being like, you know, and you know, everybody, if you don't know who Pete Rock is another, like, these are all like legend producers. Pete Rock is infamous with Kanye and Jay-Z, and it's just, it's a big thing. But so Rock, who produced for Conway, went to the to accuse Flex of looking down on the artist. So much good music out here to be ignored, and as black dudes treating other black talented people like beneath you, he continued. And then he says, you don't make beats or rap, but you shitted on artists because you couldn't, because you could, and you stopped supporting real hip hop music to cater to whoever got you in their pocket. That's sucker DJ behavior, as what Conway said, yeah. Which is, I feel like, is all, you got a kind of point.
Yeah.
Because we know if you're a DJ, you get paid by putting people's stuff on the radio. Like, who's hot? Your DJ's control. Like, he says he's a gatekeeper. DJ's control, radio people, radio personality. Whatever plays on the radio, they control what right. gets played. They control who gets the streams. Like, Biddy, like we were saying, Billie Eilish. We were saying, like, who the media loves them. Yeah. They're going to play them.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying is not that we're hating on them, but there's a million and one probably Billie Eilish out there that are probably not being played because they're overlooking them because Billie's like, oh, well, we already got it. You know, so it's the same thing what Flex is and other people are doing. So they get to dictate who's being played on the radio, who's being played underground, and which is kind of like they're gatekeepers or they hold the culture in their hand and they get to say like who's hot, who's not, which...
But at the same time, though, are these, is he even important anymore, you know?
Well, Sway, you know, those are, like, Sway still, he transcended, Sway, you have to, yeah. like, you he know,
went to radio, or, five, yeah, yeah. Which is, like, to me, like, when I roll in my mom's vehicle, mm-hmm. when I'm in my hometown, mm-hmm. she has Sirius and all that shit, I really think it's worth it,
mm-hmm.
because... To me, Sirius Satellite Radio and all that shit, yo, and shout out, if y'all want Megapod on, like, we will mm-hmm. fucking sign a contract with you, Sirius. And Celsius as well. I don't drink coffee anymore, really. I just drink, like, a Celsius a day. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they break out new artists, and, like, you can trust, like, you put on any kind of, like, Sirius Satellite Radio show, mm-hmm. like, it'll put you on game.
Yeah.
You know, they'll put you on. They don't have to play top 40s.
Yeah. DJ Envy and all them. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're going to hear Griselda. You're going to hear Dom Kennedy or, you know, whoever. You're going to hear shit off of, you know, King's Disease, mm-hmm. you know, Nas's album. They can do that. I feel like radio has to, you know, a deal with advertisers and stuff where they have to play top 40s and shit
mm-hmm.
that they know that, you know, the masses are going to listen to, you know, because it works, you know, if it's mm-hmm. popular, people will listen because it's popular and they'll listen to the ads, you know? So it's like, if you play riskier stuff on just like normal radio, you might not get the listenership, the viewership, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I don't even know if they, if Funk Flex, I think this is a desperate move for him because I think his time is over, you know? The time of radio has been over, you know?
And he has, like, 2.4 million followers on Twitter, so he clapped back at the real Pete Rock, because yeah. I think this is really between them two.
Yeah.
And Conway's just a byproduct, since yeah. Pete Rock kind of, you
he
know...
He chimed in and, yeah. and got some smoke.
So he says, haha, coming from the guy who shitted on Drill, they from New York, my friends, they fired you from WBLS and Hot 97 in order... Because you lost touch with music street.
Wait, Funk Flex isn't on Hot 97
anymore. He's calling about Pete Rock.
Oh, okay.
He's talking about Pete Rock. They fired Pete Rock from WBLS and Hot 97 in that order.
Oh,
he
okay.
says, because you lost touch with music, street, and club. Please remember, I'm a fan of your music. Love every song you've ever made. Love listening to you on the radio. Like I said,
and he always know, does that.
Real Pete Rock. I mean, but he's a legend. Like, yeah. Pete Rock's a legend. Like, y'all don't know, like, this dude's a legend. Anyways, you sit in your basement high as hell, out of touch, mad at the new generation. Pal, your career was over the day you stopped realizing hip-hop can't be dedicated to YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Dictate the culture. Never needed a petty 2,500 artists throw around to get records played. Radio clubs keep my account busy. You wish you took you wish I took money. Makes you feel better about your whack songs you made in the last 5 years that I didn't play. Be clear. Everything else you've ever produced is amazing. So I guess he's saying everything back to the fires was yeah. good. I'm funny style to you, or you're mad that we the same age and your career went a little less say different than mine. You're right. I laugh at like it's a joke. A lot of people like you haven't come to terms that there is a new style of artist controlling the craft, which we know what this is. It's yeah. the new wave of Lil Baby. you know, which we like Cardi B. I like Lil Cardi, you know, yeah. we just like this. Yeah, it's just like a new wave. We know.
Well, then you got like Playboy Cardi,
right? Playboy, which we like. I like Playboy Cardi, so I ain't hating on Playboy Cardi. So I guess it's just two old dudes going at it, bro.
Yeah, no, it's kind of just sad. Y'all are both losing. It's an L for everyone in the situation.
But it sucks because Funflex is popular than what social media wise. And yeah, he's popular than more than Pete Rock is.
But he's not popular out here. But neither is Griselda, honestly.
True.
You know, Atlanta's just on its own shit. But in the end, I think Griselda, just like Action Bronson, mm-hmm. just like, you know, any
Boldy James,
yeah, like you don't need any of that shit to be successful. These, yeah, you're not. You're gonna may struggle to get in the mm-hmm. top five,
but they have their own niche. I think Action Bronson, personally, I think he's content with being like,
that's what I'm saying.
He's like, I don't need to I got my own little base, got my own little following.
Yeah,
I don't need like.
Exactly. I don't think anyone really needs it anymore. It mm-hmm. used to be where if you weren't on the radio, like you weren't making any money mm-hmm. or you weren't relevant.
It's true.
Now it just doesn't matter.
Doesn't
you
matter.
You have Instagram,
TikTok, and shit.
And he was out in LA. You saw he knocked a
home run.
He hit a triple.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's still
in. Yeah, exactly. Like that's proof that you don't need to like jump on a train or be like you said. Boldy James. He's like another example. He's still getting clout, still getting put on.
But at the same time, if you're Griselda and you have Funkflex starting mm-hmm. to beef with you, that's talking about you, it's a good thing.
It is, yeah.
Because people are talking, you know, mm-hmm. you have Funkflex who has a ton of
clout.
Twitter followers.
Yeah,
exactly.
20 Twitter followers, so, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. I think Griselda, though,
they're going to make a lot of clap records out.
They
need
to drop a new collaborative album.
It's been a while, yeah. They've all been doing solo dolos. Yeah.
And they need to, like, and they really need to not rush it. You know, and mm-hmm. like really make a project out of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That first project or the second project,
Untouchable,
is insane.
Yeah, I don't care what Funkflex says, bro. Those are club bangers in that track, bro. I don't care what he's saying.
Exactly. So Dana and I watched the show. I honestly, I only saw the first episode. I have a button just for this show. I think how to build a sex room. How to Build a Sex Room, Netflix. What do you think of this show, Dana?
It's very introspective, complex, sophisticated, and hilarious. All in that.
I do agree with you that, mm-hmm. so on the surface, mm-hmm.
it looks
one of those house flipper shows where they, you know, hey, I like this, mm-hmm. I like that, I like this, and then
the budget is endless, though,
yeah.
for these people.
Kind of, but I've seen some of the ones I'm not that impressed
with. Well, the smaller one, but as it go on.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you got to think some of these things, like even that small room, bro, sex toys aren't cheap.
Yeah. But really, are they not just painting rooms and putting some fucking like sex chairs and St. Anthony's crosses, I learned?
True. But it's like a couple grand to do that.
Oh, yeah. A couple grand, but that ain't shit on a Netflix budget. Spend 50 on my house, please.
I mean, this lady does in some of these newer episodes, they're pretty expensive.
Like, if I was on that show, I'd be like, all right, this is the idea for my sex room. I like watching, my mm-hmm. fetish is watching porn on the biggest screen mm-hmm. possible. So I need a 90-inch screen, all right? And then my other fetish is mm-hmm. having like 2 to 4 really comfy chairs.
Like, are you being real or facetious?
Facetious.
Okay, I just want to be sure.
I'm getting them designed to be a man.
Okay. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to want a sex room, but I would love to have a mirror on top of my ceiling.
Yeah, so you can watch.
So I can watch. I definitely wouldn't mind the cameras so I can replay and watch. So there are some things I definitely wouldn't take away from the show.
Oh, do they do cameras at one
there's
point? Some,
there's one couple that's like they want to, you know, they're separate and they travel a lot. So they want to like be able
live
to
stream.
You know, go back and, you know, some people don't want to look at other people in porn. They want to look at their, you know, their significant other. So I, like I said, it's complex because people are really divulging their feelings or opening their, like,
that's why the show is, I think that's the hook that actually makes it interesting is a lot of these people too are like vanilla maybe. Yeah. And this lady, it's always like an old lady,
a British lady.
Yeah. Like who's just really horny.
She is horny.
Yes. She's like, very horny. This feels good on the clip.
But she's like a famous interior decorator. Don't let her fool you. Like this is her side hustle. Like it's funny if this may seem like she makes money doing like celebrity housing and shit like that. So she's just doing this for fun.
Yeah, and she does a good job. And, I mean, she has these uncomfortable experiences with these people trying to open them up.
Yeah.
It is so awkward. I have trouble watching shit like that.
But I think it makes good for people to watch, too.
Well, they have, like, the black couple in the first episode, and they're trying to get him to dirty talk.
And he doesn't know what he's doing. But that goes to show you, bro, like...
But he also has a camera on him.
It's nervous, but...
Like, the first couple on the first episode, he's like... She's like, yeah, he likes butt stuff. And he's like, oh, fuck, I got to say it to, like, you know, the world that I like getting butt plugs on my
ass. I mean...
you know, like, that's uncomfortable.
But then there's one scene where the lady's like, we don't have sex at all.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, when's the last time you had sex? She was like, I can't remember. Because they have, like, four kids, whatever. Yeah. But I'm just saying,
Jesus.
Like,
I didn't get to that
These one. People are just... They're opening up a lot, which respect them. Like, most of these are married couple. Right. Most of them. One of them episode is a polygamy. She's like, this is my ex-wife. We're dating and the relationships with seven other people. Yeah, it gets crazy, bro. Like, so...
Is that episode two?
It's like four or five.
Okay. I think the first episode had a preview of that one, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the way the show works, they'll show you one sex room, but they won't finish one in one episode. They'll lead into the next episode and start another one.
Yeah.
So it kind of sucks because you won't finish the first one in the first episode.
Yeah, it keeps you going.
But I think it's worth the watch, listeners, if you're into sex, which I am, got my hand up, if you can't see it, we're live.
Hands up.
And if you're looking for new things, like, there's actually people have complications with sex. If you're tall, you know, and your wife's short, or your wife's tall and you're short,
or
you're obese. You know, people have struggle with getting it on,
penis.
So if you need some ways, some
macro different, vagina,
you know, different permutations to get it done, you know, things can be arduous in the bedroom. So you need to do, you know, mix it up. So this show, for listeners, if you're out there, it's definitely not a skip. It's a stop and watch for me. It's definitely a three power swiper.
Oh, shiza.
Because I don't really feel like there's anything out there besides, like, Intervention that plugs into someone's emotions. Like, you're like, yo, I've never seen a show, because you're open in this show. They're like, I mean, you could, like you said, he's seen it. You can see the awkwardness on their faces when they're, like, talking about this stuff.
I can't.
The females, of course, they're more comfortable with their body. So all the females are always, like, they're talking, well, they're freely about it.
I think the females are also, like, I bet the men be jacking off. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, the women are, oh, we're not having sex anymore and all this. And, well, I bet the men are beating their meat and they're, you know, they're more content.
Well,
whereas the woman's like, finally, I can get fucked.
Well,
you know?
Most of them, they're sex addicts like that. The couple of ones you're watching, the first one, they like having sex. It's just that they want a room dedicated to that.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the other ones are like, we don't have sex or we need a spot too because we have kids. Yeah. Like, so that's what I like about it, because there's different, not every scenario is the same. There's always there's something different. Like, the last episode I'm on, this dude's a deputy and he's like just found out that he likes rope. And, like, she introduces him to, like, rope and, like, dominatrix and stuff. Like, rope, different, like, you ever seen the sex rope where they tie them up in different knots, bro?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, so, BDS, like, yeah. So, like, he realizes, he's like, I didn't even know. Once I saw you in the rope, he was like,
binding,
it turns him on. He was like, so he, like, literally found that out instantaneously.
Did he
was
catch
like,
the boner on?
He did, bro. That's why the show's so lit. Is why you got to keep watching, because he's like,
I need a boner button.
You should do that. Shwing, the Wayne's World. That was their thing, right? Wasn't that their, like,
major boner alert?
Shwing. Shwing. So, yeah, it's a good episode. I like it. It's like, it's different. It's a cleanse it pattern. I call these type of shows sorbet shows. I'm going to start making a little terminology for this.
It's a sorbet show.
So you can, like, it's a cleanse it pattern. You need things to switch it up, bro.
No,
you know
what
I mean?
100.
It's a good one. You can just like,
all right, that's how I feel about. So I don't really like reality shows almost at all. Mm-hmm. I just something about them. I don't care. That and cooking shows I struggle with.
No, I love cooking shows.
And that's how I feel about, I mean, Alone for sure is like that. But what's that gay show? Queer Eye.
Well, I like that. Changed it. It was Queer Eye for the Straight Man. Now it's just Queer Eye. You just help gay guys. Now they help everybody.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Mm-hmm. But Queer Eye,
I watch it.
Your boy watches it. I actually like that.
Yeah, I love all the guys on there. They're so fashionable.
It's positive.
Yeah,
you know?
I always learn about tips and shit. Come
on. Exactly.
I'll be in it. French touch,
so,
boy.
There you go. So I could see that. But for me, this show is just literally makes me uncomfortable. And it's not that like sex is.
It's not. You're not uncomfortable with sex. You're just like, no, you don't like watching other people.
I don't like watching people like
be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. It's like, or you ever watch like a prank show where they like prank people? Like, I can't even stand it. Even though there is a show randomly, I will. I'm currently watching, and we'll get to what we're currently watching because we try to rate shit when we're done with it. But The Rehearsal, which is a new Nathan Fielder show on HBO, just started. It was only one episode in. And that show, while it's good, makes me insanely uncomfortable. I just can't stand
Didn't you feel
that
uncomfortable
shit.
About them, too, on Amazon? You were like, I just...
Well, them was like, I felt like it was like overt racism with a lack of care. I felt like they weren't handling the messages and content properly. It was like almost exploiting racism for horror and not, which is just, I don't know if that's a good thing. You know what I mean? I don't know. But no, has anybody talked about them since?
No, they haven't.
I ain't no season two.
Oh, sorry, guys. That was me.
But yeah, that show just to me was like, it didn't make me uncomfortable. It was just kind of like, I felt it was insulting my intelligence. But whatever, I get it. White people are evil. Moving on.
Fucking white people.
So we're using this new button that he requested, and I'm going to hit a, where is it?
Next. Yo, this show is so ruthless, bro. It's so ruthless.
I have another one, too.
Yeah.
You have to say next.
Man, I've seen too many guys.
So I'm going to say next on the How to Build a Sex Room. But yeah, if you're into that shit, go for it. I just, not my style. Just really awkward. And it's like I hate those home improvement shows. Like, I don't want to watch somebody build something. It bores me. We're now at another show, movie. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Dana has caught up. I'm very excited.
Dana watches what Seth watches.
Dana watches what Seth watches, implying that Seth doesn't watch what Dana watches.
No, but you're going to have an episode where you do, or you're going to spoil it. Stop. So well, yeah, I did watch. I did go back and finally watch it. It's not that I didn't want to watch it. It's just that it was in theaters and it finally came on Apple. So I just waited until it hit Apple.
He's a patient movie watcher.
Yeah.
What'd you
think? I don't like to go out to theaters. You know, I'm an introvert. Come on, man. I'll be outside sometimes, but you know.
Well, I mean,
you know,
and that's fine. Yeah. No, I love going.
And
to
you
theater.
Like going to theaters, so
and
yeah.
I'm going to talk about that in a little while. But what'd you think about the movie?
Man, that shit was four swipes. Not power swipes, but four swipes.
Thank you.
But
so
it would
much.
Definitely hit up there. Yeah, it could have been more power swipe-ish. I would have gave you 3 to 4 power swipes if it had more martial arts in it. But I love the story. I love the multi-dimension.
Yes.
I love Jamie Lee Curtis and the hot dog hands. Oh, there was just so much that I could say that it was just I loved about it that I'm not going to go too overboard about the show. But it was just, it was fire, man. I liked everything about it. It had a little bit of the Matrix in there. Yes. It just took a little bit of everything I liked from everything about. And the fact that Data, I haven't seen him in like ages. I think the last thing I saw him in was Temple of Doom, you know. And now I see him as this like, and he like, it was... It didn't make me cry, but I felt emotional.
Oh, I was crying.
It was like, I could see where you was, you know, where it could definitely play on your emotions because it was definitely sad. But I love how happy he was because I feel like that's me. I'm always trying to find like the positive things about things.
God, yes.
And he's just so happy. And then
his performance, man, he's like, I know it's not the life you want, you know, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
He never stopped trying. And it would just, coupled with his voice, you could just feel it, you know, like you believed it, like that this guy, like as like insignificant as their like laundromat, you know, life was. And you see all these other lives where she went on to be a movie star.
So good.
Went on to be an amazing hibachi chef.
She's like, my life could, but it was just, you know? Yeah. And how it all came together at the end when, you know, she's, and he's like,
It reminded me of also Pixar Soul, another movie like that. There's like these movies out there where it's like, you know, people chase these dreams to have like a really, you know, life.
Like my life
could
have been,
And then like great. And then, but you often in these, the moral is always that, like he sees a leaf. Or it's hard to explain, but
it is. If you haven't seen it,
yeah. Well, no, in Soul, but like, I'm just saying, like, he basically realizes that at some point, like, it's the little things that matter, the little moments. It's not about, you know, being great or being recognized. Mm-hmm. It's about just enjoying now, enjoying, you know, like right now, you and me sitting down, meeting up, doing a pod. Like, at some point, we won't do this. And, yeah. and so, yeah, like, you got to really take in these moments. And I feel like that movie was like a positive acid trip. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you come out of it feeling better.
Metacritic gave it 81. Rotten Tomato gave it 95.
Metacritic, to me, is they're like harsh. So they're harsh. But they're good, though. You know, yeah. if it's above 70, mm-hmm. it's going to be a solid movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no.
Can we give Michelle Yeoh her flowers? She's been like, she is just
incredible.
I mean, she was in Star Trek series on Paramount, the older one. I think it was like 2016 or 2000. It ran for back then.
Yeah.
She was in Milkshake Handgun, Netflix. She's been in Crouching Tiger, Lee. I mean, that. I don't know what else to say about her.
Yeah.
Like, she went where Lucy Liu couldn't go. Like, I love Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
I love Lucy Liu. But Lucy Liu stopped. Like, she, and I believe Lucy Liu could have went further. I think she's just got tired of acting, I think. But she could have went further. I think Lucy Liu could have been like.
Yeah. Well, Michelle Yeoh, is that her name?
Yeah, yeah, because it's Y. I think it's
something like that. Yeah. But she, I mean, but she's like an insane martial artist, though. Like, she, you know, she is known.
Lucy Liu knows martial arts too.
Somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat. But not as crucial as Michelle Yeoh, but you know, she knows it. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been implicated in Kill Bill and all those other things. She's been in mission martial art movies before too. So, but Lucy Liu was beautiful and is still beautiful.
I think Michelle Yeoh
and Michelle's, and that's what I'm saying, as an older, like,
when she was in her prime.
I'm just saying Lucy Liu's just always had that, like,
Memoirs of a Geisha. Lucy Liu
was like, it was just like Lucky Slevin with, you know,
Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. She's just always had that, you know, and I think those two, I just comparing them because I felt like Lucy Liu just stopped, and whereas Michelle was just like,
kept she's kind of having like a resurgence right now. I mean, she's amazing in that role. Is. I mean, it's a very complex role.
It definitely is,
and she just knocks out the part. I thought the daughter killed it as well. With her, I loved her outfit.
I loved her personality.
The way she would like delete people and shit was so cool. And,
yeah.
What about a Raccoon Cooey? It was fucking awesome.
Great. There's just so much about it. Like I said, there's too much. It's like overload of how much goodness that was in the movie that it's just four swipes, hands down. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely a must see. We don't have a stop and watch, but.
Damn, 100%.
Freaking stop and watch it.
Must watch.
I bought it. You know, like I bought it. So I have it forever.
Yeah. No, that movie's fucking sick. Please watch that movie. Do yourself a favor. It's over the top, ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
The message behind it and the execution.
Shout out to James Hong, Big Trouble in Little Chinatown.
God.
I mean, he's been everywhere.
And he's like 92.
This dude is like, I mean.
He's a B movie legend.
B movie legend. If you haven't seen Big Trouble in Little Chinatown, I mean, oh my God.
Probably
goodness.
One of my it's favorite. Like, that's top 25.
Pork Chop Express. I mean, let's go. I mean. If we had, like, we need to start doing mega, like, top tiers, like Orange and some of these other ones that we've, like, recommended that are, like, up there. But Big Trouble in Little Chinatown is, like, the essence of, like, kung fu in the 80s and together with tight jean shorts and tank tops and, like.
Dude, and he has, like, the lipstick on his mouth.
Yo, it's mullet, amazing. Oh, it's, like, it's
fucking
just,
Tech N9ne. Like, come on.
And that's what almost everything
also
all at once.
It just,
yeah, it's just, like, that. It's one of those classics, man. It's up there. It's definitely up there.
It's got the girl from fucking Sex and the City.
Yeah, it's up there, man. It's up there.
John Carpenter. Though.
Yeah,
come
it's
on.
John Carpenter and everything all at, and they go hand in hand. Like, watch that and watch those two together. You're like, yo.
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like Matrix 1 and Everything Everywhere All at Once would be a great
good back to back watcher. Yeah,
100%.
That was Dana Watches with Seth's Watches. Paid for by Mega Podcast.
Okay, now Seth is going to watch what Dana watched.
Yes,
The Northman.
The Northman. Yeah.
The Northman, starring Alexander Skarsgård. Is it Alexander Skarsgård?
Yeah, yeah,
he's one of the Skarsgårds.
And when I was giving so much high accolades, I wasn't being hyperbolic, was I?
Anya Taylor-Joy. I don't know who the... Ethan Hawke. Mm-hmm.
The dad.
Willem Dafoe. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who played the dad's brother.
Yeah, I don't know that guy. He was kind of a nobody. Yeah. I mean, he was a main character, but he did a good job. Yeah.
He was ripped, though, for being supposedly old. Because at that point, he was probably like in his 50s.
At least.
And he's fucking just as ripped as Skarsgård. That was kind of weird.
That was weird.
But so I looked into Northman because it felt very Shakespearean and even Greek, like Oedipus Rex at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up and it is basically based on Amleth. I mean, his name is Amleth, but that is like a legend in, let's see, medieval Scandinavian legend, the direct inspiration of the character of Prince Hamlet. So it's kind of where Hamlet comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, so for me, I thought it was great, but here's my issue is, had I not known who the director was,
mm-hmm.
I would have...
Robert Eggers.
Yes, I would have gone in to it differently, but he did The Witch,
mm-hmm.
and he did The Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And those are incredible to me.
What'd you think of Bjork?
She was awesome. She was awesome. That scene was sick. That was like, that was all that kind of spiritual stuff was great. But my thing though was, man, his movies are way, this was his most mainstream movie by far. And
Metacritic has it higher than freaking everything all at once. It's at 82.
Dang.
And Rotten Tomato has it higher too at 89.
See, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put it there. But I did like all the spiritual stuff. I thought all the tripping and witch doctor stuff, the head talking and stuff. Really fucking cool. My only thing was in the end, he basically ends up in a village, like working at the village, and I felt like the story really slowed down. And I thought it was going to be more of an epic journey. And that's kind of what I was like anticipating. I wanted, like, for instance, he has to find like a sword at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally goes find it like 5 minutes after he's told to find the sword. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like the sword was just around the corner. Like, I was hoping he was going to have to, like, you know, climb in the volcano or, mm-hmm. like, do something crazy.
But he had to beat that homie to get the sword. I mean, that was.
I mean, no, that was cool. But it was like. The journey.
Better than Aquaman who had to fight home, dude. That shit was lame.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But I just wanted more of an epic journey, I guess. And it really wasn't that kind of story. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of The Witch a lot,
too. It was a personal story more than it was like a...
I mean, and this is based on mm-hmm. a legend where in the legend, basically, he plays an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his brother or his uncle knows that he's Amleth,
mm-hmm.
but he thinks Amleth is so dumb
mm-hmm.
that he spares him.
Yeah,
because like the gods would curse him if he killed like basically an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays dumb, and then he basically does everything he does in the movie, just like behind the scenes. In this one, he like sneaks in as a peasant. I forgot his name.
No, he's like a strong worker. Yeah. So he's like, I'll keep him.
He gets a real dumb haircut. Yeah. But man, yeah. No, I thought it was good. I just, it wasn't up to my expectations for that director. But I mean, I did love the like, you know, earth gods.
Shot amazingly, bro.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I love the psychedelic imagery, the CGI. And fucking Willem Dafoe. I loved when he, like, the man turning from the man into the, or the mm-hmm. kid into the man, yeah. the wolf,
mm-hmm.
the fart scene, the burp.
Yeah.
There was, like, some funny humor in there. Yeah,
I did have some funny humor in there.
But overall, I'm going to give it 3 swipes. I felt like this director could have done... I felt like it could have been more Braveheart, you mm-hmm. know? Because, like, to me, Braveheart's a 4 swiper. It could have been Braveheart if it... I don't know.
I think I gave it a 3 power. I'm going to stick with it because I think it had... I'm usually action. I mean, to me, it had more story. And I was infatuated with the story, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I...
Because it was not that many fight scenes.
No. There was still a handful, though. And there was some good violence, though.
Yeah.
Like blood. The guy with the cut off nose and stuff. Like, there was some good stuff.
When he chews a piece out of homeboy.
Yeah. There was some good. Yeah, that opening was crazy. When he catches the javelin, that shit was fire.
Yeah.
He runs funny, though. Alexander Skarsgård.
He's a big dude, though.
Yeah, he runs.
When people are tall dudes, don't. They're not made to, like, run like.
He runs like. He must be 6'4".
Bro, he's got. I think he's close to almost 7", bro.
No, he ain't that tall.
Let me see. I'm looking
at it. Yeah, look it up. He's. But, yeah, I don't know. Check it out. I thought it was cool, though. It's. I'm all for more movies like this, though. Even though. I would say original movies, but the next movie I'm about to review is also about Norse mythology. I saw
6'4".
I saw Thor: Love and Thunder.
He's 45.
And actually, no, fuck this. We're gonna go quick because we're
good for 45.
We're running long, so I'm gonna do this thing that Dana suggested.
Man, you implemented it on the show. I think it's a good idea.
I did implement.
Yeah, I remember you did it during the.
All right. Well, look, I'm diving in. Here we go.
Take a deep breath.
Okay, y'all. I saw almost every blockbuster there is in about.
Take
a week.
Deep breath.
I saw Thor. Love and Thunder. Christian Bale. I thought he did a great job. I thought it was way better than Doctor Strange. The guy next to me said, "Why the fuck did they even make that movie as soon as it ended?" That's why I like going to the theaters. It did $449 million. That's a little low for a Thor movie. Next up, I saw Buzz Lightyear. I thought it actually not the best. It was an interesting story. I'm not really sure why they chose it. Yeah, there was like a lesbian kiss in it, but honestly, it was like 4 seconds. Who gives a fuck? I saw The Black Phone after that. It was pretty good. It's based on a short story. I'd probably give that one actually 2 swipes. And then Jurassic World, which was like Jason Bourne for half of it, and then it was kind of cool during the jungle scene at the end. Probably give that one 2 as well. That's it for me. I've seen all those blockbusters in 1 week.
Oof, that was good. You got through all that. Make it look easy. Walk with your boys. That was good, man.
Thank you.
That was a good job.
Hold on, I got it. There you go. Yeah, so I saw all those movies in 1 week.
Popped it out.
I will say I didn't see them all at the theaters. I kind of have a little connect. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't tell anybody. But yeah, Thor was pretty good. Black Phone, though, I wanted to shout out Black Phone. It's not very scary at all. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't think there was really any scary.
Is Hannibal Lecter more scary?
Like Hannibal?
Like the story, Buffalo Bill, when he had the whole scene. Clarice. Oh, you know, because I'm just, it reminds me
you
of
know
that.
You know what's funny you say that is.
Just because he has it in the dungeon and shit, you know.
Well, no, it's funny you say that. They use a similar cut. Do you remember in. Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Gosh.
The FBI is like rushing to save her, and then they finally get to the door, and like you're like, oh my God, they're going to save her. And they open it, it's the wrong door. It's like the first like show movie to ever use that. They actually use that. I knew it was going to happen too. They use that exact.
Or is that paying homage to, you think?
Or? Yeah, I think so. But it was, to me, it was so obvious that they were going to get to. It was kind of a bullshit thing. But. It was okay. Ethan Hawke did a pretty good job.
Did he make up for Moonlight?
Moon Knight? Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he did it kind of fucking horrible.
And he's also in The Northman.
He's doing work. What is he doing now?
Ethan Hawke's on one right now. Yeah, dude. He's getting money.
Paid. Does he owe people something?
He's on his Nick Cage
trip. Nicolas Cage trip right now, bro.
But, I thought it was okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I said 2 swipes.
Yes, we have not hit that in so long.
Thor 2 swipe. Mm-hmm. It was way better than Doctor Strange, and I think Natalie Portman actually did a good job.
Shout out to my girl.
The goats were kind of annoying. I think I'm kind of getting burnt out on Taika Waititi. It was very much his type of movie. He did Jojo Rabbit. Mm-hmm. He did a movie called Boy. What We Do in the Shadows. A lot of his movies center around children and kids. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He like loves, I guess, the innocence of it in a non-creepy way. And he's good at getting them to do like good comedy. And Thor had a lot of kids in it. I'll say that. And so it was very much hit a Taika Waititi film. And apparently there's going to be another Thor, they're saying. So
I
don't
need to stop.
Yeah. Done with Thor. But I will say, I know, but I will say, Chris Hemsworth's charisma, like
that's what I thought about Spider-Head. His charisma sold the actual show.
And like, honestly, North mythology is so hot right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the new God of War is coming out in like November, and he's going to fight Thor in it. Like, all this shit, like Thor, this, you know, and it makes sense, you know, going back to my old Christian upbringing, how like, oh yeah, the fucking, you know, art's the devil. It kind of makes sense because you're talking about like all these different gods and stuff. Mm-hmm. I can see where it comes from. Not that I agree with it, but Jesus Christ, we we love, or should I say, Odin, Allfather. We really even like
Van Hollow, the game. Freya.
Yeah, we love all that shit. Lately, Jurassic World is like ridiculous, but I wanted to talk about the box office and just kind of the winners of it. Just to kind of wrap up the show. And as of right now, Top Gun is leading $1.2 billion. And that's probably all it's going to do. Doctor Strange is number two at $954 billion. Jurassic World, $902 billion. I think it's projected at like $1.2 billion. So that's looking like the biggest fucking movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, $770 million. There's something called Watergate Bridge. It just came out in China, $600 million. Minions, $530 million. Thor, $490 million. So Minions has made more than Thor so far. Thor will probably beat that. And then Lightyear just skipping down, $213 million. And I just want to talk about how basically now China is out right now because Thor and Buzz Lightyear both decided to keep their lesbian, you know, scenes. They both had like lesbian kisses and like one just, I don't know, what are you, just gay? Men are just gay and women can be gay and lesbian, yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Both movies had lesbian scenes and gay, LGBTQ plus A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yes, and, damn, so many words.
Give
me letters.
Because of that, they were not played in Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, China, all this stuff. And the theory right now is that Disney, all these big companies don't give a fuck right now about China because China's kind of under lockdown right now with COVID. So they're not worried about like censoring their movies for China because they're only really missing out on like 30 million instead of like 100, 200 million. So all these movies right now are just keeping the shit. And that's kind of why I think Thor is low also, is because it's not. I
mean,
it's getting no, like Doctor Strange got China money and then Thor didn't. Let me see. Lightyear was a complete flop. That movie, it really wasn't good. It was $200 million to make. It did a box office of $213 million. So that's pretty trash. Thor was $250 million and it did 490,000. I mean, and Minions did 530. So the Minions are winning right now is what I'm trying to get at. And it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. Are you a Minions guy?
I like Minions. I'll watch it when it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Apple.
Of course. I mean, they had Thundercat mm-hmm. on the Tame Impala. Mm-hmm. It seems like. Tame Impala. It just seems that times are changing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think we're getting Disney fatigue or Marvel fatigue. And I think, you know, the youths are coming up.
The youths.
And, you know, they grew up on, when they're in middle school, what's that movie, Despicable Me came out.
I mean, I watched it too.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it too, but I didn't watch anything after that. Mm-hmm. But it's like they fucking, I don't know, they're the new Pikachus. I don't know what's
for real. Like, produced the like soundtrack of the first Happy. One. I started watching it and I was like, oh, I'm invested.
And that's kind of why they get these crazy. I mean, they even have that dude Yeet. He's like this new little trap white boy on it, and he has a song called "Rich Minions." And like, I mean, the youngins are showing up in suits. You know, it's like TikTok trends, all that shit. But I think we're having fatigue on Disney. Even though Doctor Strange somehow got $954 billion, I thought it was a total piece of shit. And then the other thing is Jurassic World. People love fucking dinosaurs, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jurassic World's going to do better than any Disney movie this year. So, and it's definitely the final. I thought it was alright. I mean, the back half of it, I think, really got good, or, you know, actiony and cool. But in the end, it's just dinosaurs fighting and running around. I'm kind of over Chris Pratt, though, who was also in Thor as well. But yeah, that is the box office of the year. I think it's looking like Jurassic World is probably going to take top spot. Next thing coming up is Nope. So that's about it for the show then, huh?
Yeah, we'll hit. I think we'll hit Ms. Marvel next week.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if it's worth it. I mean, we'll talk. We could talk
about it. We'll just go over, glance over it.
Yeah, but it was exactly what we probably expected it to be. Yeah.
Essentially.
All right, we're going to go out on this band, TV Girl. I was just kind of listening to random shit in the hot tub outside of my Gregorian chants. Discover Weekly put me on. They have a song called Lovers Rock. What you got going on the rest of the day, Dana? Oh, I know.
Training. Eating. Lord. Finish up these printing t-shirts for the family reunion. That's about it.
They look great. So,
thanks. Hopefully I can get a beat in. We'll see. What about you?
Honestly, with this kind of weather, I think it's time to hit the hot tub. I'm going to do my back. I'm going to work that back out. I'm a gym rat now.
It's good.
I think so. I think I'm going to swim. I'm going to chill. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Edit the pod.
Shout out to all the new listeners out there. Ha.
One thing I've learned from all these box office numbers is, like, if you're just looking at the money, for instance, Black Phone was $18 million budget, made $114 million box office. They're 100% is gonna be a Black Phone 2 now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh wow.
Top Gun, $1.2 billion. They're 100% is gonna be another Top Gun.
I need to watch that too. Gonna watch that once it hits Apple.
Jurassic World, the end of this trilogy, you know? 902 projected to do like 1.4.
Damn.
There's gonna be another Jurassic World.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, like, no doubt. They're all, yeah, for sure. They can't, they're not gonna stop that. Just like they can't stop at Star Wars. They're gonna make some side thing of everything of Star Wars until it's dead.
And if you look at like The Northman, it did like trash, absolute trash.
Which was for no reason because it's a good fucking movie.
Yeah, but people didn't show up. Oh, my other point of the whole thing, though, is people are going back to the movies. How many minutes? People are going back. Like, these numbers are huge, you know? We were worried that they would never go that high again. We were worried that theaters would, like, go under. People are going back.
Yeah, they're going. Everyone wants to get back to the norm. The norm.
So, Northman did 90, budget 90 million, 68. But apparently, at the box office, apparently it's doing really good on people renting it. So you gotta bring home the bacon.
Yeah. Was this the 100th episode?
This is 99.
Ah, close to the 100. It's gonna be rainy all day. Lame.
Lame. All right. See y'all next week.
About to start.